The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Well, good afternoon and happy Holy Day again to all of you here and to all of you on the phone and the internet. It is a gorgeous day, not only weather-wise, but in the meaning and the things that God is working out through His plan of salvation. And so here we are on the first day of Unleavened Bread, 7 days that remind us that because of God's love and through His deliverance, our sins are removed. These 7 days also remind us that we can avoid all types of sin in all areas of our lives. The thing is, brethren, because of our human nature, because of our human nature with all of its weaknesses and its sinful leanings, now it must be replaced with something much, much better. And please know, brethren, we can learn this through God's instructions to eat unleavened bread throughout these 7 days. Now, I've been asked, I've been asked many times over the years, do we have to eat unleavened bread every day? And my answer kind of shocks people because I say, no, I don't require it, but God does. Because you just read the instructions, it's very, very plain. God requires. He's asked us to do. You want to use the word command? Use the word command. But yes, we are to eat unleavened bread every day during these 7 days. Hopefully by the end of this message, we'll all understand why we would not only be required to do that, because we would also want to do so. We all know that immediately after the Passover comes this festival that we're beginning to celebrate for these next 7 days, representing the next step in fulfilling God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. Because you see, after God had forgiven us of our sins through Jesus' sacrifice, seen through the Passover, we need to ask ourselves, how do we continue to avoid sin since we are to go on living in newness of life? How do we live as God's chosen and called people? Brethren, we find the answer. We actually find the answer in the awesome symbolisms of the days of unleavened bread. I have entitled this message, Bread of Life. Notice what God told His people when He freed the children of Israel from Egypt. Go with me to Exodus 12, Exodus 12, verse 15. Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. See, you asked, you didn't ask, but I've been asked and I told you. Are we required to eat unleavened bread all 7 days? 7 days, you shall think about it. You shall maybe, if you want to, it's not what he says. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day, you shall have put away leaven out of your homes, out of your houses, for whosoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. I didn't write this, but we see it. These are instructions from our Father God. Verse 39, still in Exodus 12, verse 39. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened. Because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any food. I think most of us understand and know that leavening is any kind of rising agent. An example, of course, would be yeast. That's what we would think about most commonly. It's any kind of rising agent like yeast that is going to cause bread dough to rise. And that process takes time. The Israelites had no time to add the yeast when they left Egypt. So they baked and they ate unleavened or flat bread. And I know some of you heard me mention this before. I still think it's a cute little story. Little Jewish girl, low elementary grade, she comes back from days of unleavened bread, and so the teacher asked her, said, "So would you tell the class what is unleavened bread?" And she said, "It's bread that has no ingredients." Now, we know it has ingredients, but that's a cute little way of saying it, you know, and understanding. But anyway, so what we see, brethren, from this, with Israel being delivered out, they didn't have time to prepare their food the way that they would normally eat it, and so they were eating this flat bread or unleavened bread or bread with no ingredients. So we see that what started out as a necessity continued for an entire week. God correctly named this time the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus 23 and verse 6. Leviticus 23 and verse 6. "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." There we go again. When Jesus came to the earth and lived in his flesh and bone and blood human body, he observed the 7-day festival, both as a child and later as an adult. And we scriptures to show us this. So go with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke 2, 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every day to keep the feast of the Passover." And so if they were there for the Passover, then they would have also remained over for the days of unleavened bread. And so this is the occasion when he was 12 years old. You know what happened? The parents leave, and they realize a couple of days after they had left, Jesus isn't with them, so they go back into the temple, and this is where they find him as this 12-year-old lad is confounding the doctors of the law in the temple about the word of God. This is that occasion, but it was during the days of unleavened bread. So he was there, he kept them. And then we see as an adult that he kept it also in Matthew 26 and verse 17. Matthew 26, 17. "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, 'Well shall you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover.'" And so we know that he was there. And those, they ate that traditional Passover meal. And of course, that meal was also served with unleavened bread. Now we know that the days of unleavened bread did not officially start until after he was already crucified. But he still did keep these days as an adult. We also see in Scripture that the early church, following Jesus' example, also observed these days. And we see earlier instructions that Jesus followed, then followed by the church of God. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, back to Exodus 12, beginning in verse 11. I'm sorry, back to Exodus 12, beginning in verse 12, and I'm going to read these verses out of the NIV. Verse 12, "On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood shall be for a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you are to eat bread made without yeast. Now, this is NIV, and so they put in some different kinds of wording, but they make it more modern in that sense. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, and whoso eat bread, anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. You think God is serious about this? He's serious about us doing it, the doing it, because of the spiritual implications. This is the why. Verse 16. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for anyone to eat. That is all you may do. So the seven-day festival, with the first and the seventh days being annual Sabbaths and holy days, are important to God. He gives it as his instructions because, as I said, there are all kinds of reasons, spiritual implications that he wants us to get. He wants us to act it out physically so we can get the spiritual lessons. And down through the years that followed after Israel observed this festival, it reminded them of God's deliverance of their forefathers from Egypt. Continuing here in verse 17, here still in chapter 12, verse 17. Celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, because it is on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. What we understand, of course, is that the Exodus, God bringing them out, starting them out on the first day of unleavened bread. They traveled out, taking them 7 days before they crossed the Red Sea on the seventh day. But this Exodus, the starting out of it, is a basic fundamental reason for observing this feast, these days of unleavened bread today. Because it is a reminder. It's what it did as Israel observed it over the years. It was to be a reminder of what God had done to their forefathers back then. It is also a reminder of what God did for our forefathers back then. And bringing forward to the spiritual implications and lessons that he has in store for us from these days. So just as God delivered ancient Israel, he delivered us from our sins. Now notice Jesus' teaching about leaven. And when we notice what he says, we also notice that this expands the meaning of this day, of the feast days. During Jesus' ministry, he performed many miracles, but I'm focusing on who performed two miracles where he fed thousands of people. The first occasion was 5,000. The second occasion was the 4,000, the feeding of the multitudes. And we know a lot about that. After one of these days of miracles, when his disciples, as it says, had gone around the Sea of Galilee, they forgot to bring bread with them. So let's notice Jesus' words to them on this occasion. So go with me to Matthew chapter 16. It's recorded in more than one of the Gospels, but I'm reading it here out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, that's the Sea of Galilee that is talked about earlier, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, we'll come later and say, what is there any significance in that? Well, the answer is, yeah, it is. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, meaning watch out for, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And we understand from reading other verses that they thought, the disciples thought, that he was referring to their forgetting the bread. Yet, however, he used this occasion to teach them by referring to the symbols of leaven. Again, notice his words to them. Still in Matthew 16, verse 11. We're going to read 11 and 12, and I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. Matthew 16, verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood, which I think is just really interesting. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so he's using this occasion to refer to leaven, which is a symbol of Egypt, which is a symbol of sin. Now, we know that some of the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, they taught and they practiced man-made traditions that were clearly contrary to God's laws and therefore considered to be by Jesus as sinful. Still in Matthew, go back one chapter to 15, Matthew 15 and verse 9. But in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, please understand, the days of unleavened bread remind us that God has delivered us from our sins, symbolized by the leaven, and then through Jesus living in us through his Holy Spirit, we must also avoid all sin. We are to live honestly and sincerely by God's commandments in all areas of our lives. We also can see that Paul taught the same spiritual principles, same spiritual lessons that Jesus had taught, referring to the comparison of sin to leaven. Notice Paul's warnings to the church of God in Corinth for their divisions and also because of their pride of tolerating sexual sins within the congregation. So go with me to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, and we'll read these verses out of the NIV. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. During the days of unleavened bread, I typically do nightly Bible studies for anyone who wants to call in. We'll do that again this year. But a couple of years ago, I went through and I talked about this word, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And I focused on the word sincerity. The word comes from, not going into the Bible study, but this word actually comes from two Greek words, and it means without wax. Because the merchants have a crack, they'd have a pot, they wanted to sell a pottery, and it'd have a crack in it, and they would take wax, melt the wax, and they would fill in the holes. And then they would paint it over, and they'd put it out. And he's saying, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't present yourself as something that you aren't. Don't present yourself. Present yourself as being honest before God. That's the point that he's saying. And he's making this statement because he says, you are unleavened. You belong to God. You are unleavened. The church of God at Corinth was obviously keeping the days of unleavened bread, but also mistakenly keeping the days of unleavened bread. And so God, so Paul is teaching them lessons, showing them lessons. We can see, not going to, but Paul alluded to this many times with them. Yet at the same time, Paul also used the Corinthians' faithful obedience in keeping the feast physically, in other words, removing the leaven from their houses, as a basis to encourage them to celebrate this feast with a correct grasp of its spiritual intent. Because you see, brethren, as we do the physical, the removing of the leaven from our houses, we see and we understand the spiritual lessons. Yes, we do the physical, but the purpose of it is so for us to understand the spiritual lessons, and so we get them out. So we look in every nook and cranny, we de-leaven our houses, we get it out, we clean out our cars and all of these kinds of things where over the years got leavened in it that is not sinned other than during the representative sin except during this week. And so we clean it out, and there are spiritual lessons that we are to come to as a result of doing that. Today, removing leaven from our houses for 7 days reminds us that we too, through prayer and through God's help and understanding, must recognize, we must put out, and we must avoid sin. Now, am I saying that we remove the leaven from our house and we don't eat, you know, hamburgers during the days of unleavened bread, that is going to be that's going to be removing all sin? No, it's symbolic. We see it. We don't do those things during these days so that we get the point that God is getting to. And it's the spiritual lessons. We do the physical, yes, to see the spiritual. The 7 days of unleavened bread are therefore a time of personal reflection for us to use individually to look at ourselves, to continue to look at ourselves, and to see, am I living up to the standard that God is wanting me to do? We need to meditate on our attitude, and we need to meditate on our conduct and our behavior. And we do ask God to help us to recognize and to overcome our shortcomings. And the thing is, He will. He does show us. When our attitude is right toward Him, I'm not doing everything right, and I know I'm not, so show me, because I want to do what You want me to do. And He'll show us. That's God. Take a look with me of David's attitude in this particular area. Go with me to Psalm 19 in verse 12. Psalm 19 in verse 12. Who can understand his errors? I use the word shortcomings. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse you me from secret faults. Show me. Open my eyes that I can see the lessons that You're wanting me to get from keeping the days of unleavened bread in the way that God wants me to keep the days of unleavened bread. That should be our heart. That should be our attitude. And this should be the way we approach it. I want to show you one other. David. It's in Psalm 139 in verse 23. 139 in verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. If we already have, we have this attitude of show me, and then teach me, even show me my secret faults. God does. That's the attitude that He wants us to have as we go through the days of unleavened bread. He wants us to have this attitude at all times, but especially during these days. Let's read now what Paul wrote about this much-needed self-examination. You know, we give several sermons leading up to Passover and unleavened bread about this, but let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And read it in the NIV. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. The test is, are we going to continue to look at ourselves? Are we going to ask God to show us the secret sins, the secret faults that we may have? Examine my thoughts. Let me know what my thoughts are, even the secret ones that are not right with you. And we see here, New Testament, we're still to continue to examine ourselves, and we're being tested. How are we going to hold up to the test? This version, I like it better than the NIV. I like it here better than the King James. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, of course, unless, of course, you fail the test? In other words, we're not doing it. We're failing the test. So hopefully we can all realize there are spiritual lessons. I've been saying this several times, that there are spiritual lessons that we need to see. And then, of course, we need to apply the lessons to our lives as believers. First of all, I want us all, we know this, but I want to put it out here and just make the statement. Being human, we're going to make mistakes. Also, being human, we learn by doing. And we need to realize we also learned spiritual lessons by doing physical things. So he gave us these days. He tells us beforehand, take it out of your houses. And you go, this is silly. What? Why do we have to take all the bread and the cakes and all the things that would leaven the bread, even though it's just in this little container, it's not doing anything by itself? Why does he want us to do this? We do it to learn and to see spiritual lessons. That's the point that I'm making. For example, our de-leavening our homes prior to entering into these days of unleavened bread, and then avoiding the leavening products for these 7 days of unleavened bread, remind us to carefully watch for sinful thoughts and actions so we can avoid them. It's a reminder. Is to put it, bring that into the forefront of our thinking, that we realize we're human, we make mistakes, we are human, we're going to make mistakes. And so we avoid these things so we can think about it during these days, so we can bring it to the forefront of our thinking, carefully watching our thoughts and our atoms and our actions so that we can avoid them. Because you see, here's the thing. God knows that. In spite of our good intentions, we all sin. Let's see Paul's comments about this aspect in his life. Many years after Paul's conversion, he describes this very powerful human trait of leaning toward sin. Romans 7, verse 21, we begin. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I'm winding up, I'm thinking on these things I want. I love God's law. I want to live God's way of life. But I keep finding myself thinking about things that are not God's way of life. This is what I'm calling leaning towards sin. And it's this very powerful human trait. We all have this. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the Lord of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In my mind, I'm doing it right. You know, I really want to do this, but I still act it out because that's the flesh. That's that human tendencies of leaning toward sin. Everybody has it. Here is the thing. Paul knew that life itself is a battle with sin. Notice Paul's statements back in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compacted about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us, here's the point, let us lay aside every weight and lay aside every sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The sin that does so easily beset us, or as it's translated in other versions, and I like this, different usages. The sin that does so easily entangles us, or ensnares us, or clings so closely to us, or distracts us. Wow. So easily, because of this human leaning toward it. So yes, God has delivered us, pictured by the days of unleavened bread. Yet we do have our own part to play in our resistance to sin. And yes, obviously God's part is much bigger than our part. But we do have a part. Paul mentions something about our part over in Philippians 2. So go with me to Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You could do whole Bible studies on these terms, fear and trembling here. I'm not, but we could. Verse 13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even though we recognize we have this human tendency of leaning towards sin, Jesus Christ is living in us and we can war against these things. And he brings us to our minds, and this is what it says, with the work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the point is, we can do what God is wanting us to do. We have to recognize it, we have to see where we are, and we have to do all that we can do to keep this leaning to go any further than it is just by human nature. We keep leaning it back in the other direction, and God in us helps us do this. I also want us to please understand that Paul did not end his discussion about struggling with sin in Romans 8 in any kind of anxious note of remaining enslaved to sin. No. He went on to chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. He went on there to show us that we can be free of the way of sin and death with Jesus Christ's help through God's Holy Spirit. So let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but that walk after the Spirit. In other words, wanting to live God's way of life. We see the two differences. We know that the human nature wants us, it wars against us. We want to do humanly, we want to do these sinful things, and God's Spirit tells us that's wrong. God has brought you out of sin. You don't have to do those. Turn and do these things and walk after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Days of unleavened bread. You see, brethren, our observance of these 7 days of unleavened bread helps us to realize our own personal fundamental need for Jesus' help in overcoming our weaknesses. We cannot do it by ourselves. But Jesus Christ is there for us. Who brought the Israelites out of Egypt? You can say, well, they did it themselves. Nope. They had to get up. They had to take their bread dough, unleavened, because they hadn't put it in it. Time hasn't allowed them time to do that, and that's why for these next 7 days they're walking and they're eating unleavened bread. But God is the one who's delivering them. God is the one that is bringing them out. God is the one that is bringing us out, that has brought us out. We cannot do it on our own. And this is revealed in the second aspect of how God commands us that this feast be observed by eating unleavened bread throughout the 7 days. So we need to ask, what is the lesson of unleavened bread we are commanded to eat? Brethren, the point is for us to effectively remove sin, that we don't really remove it, God does. We take it to Him and say, show me my secret faults. Okay, here it is. You showed it to me, and I don't want it any longer. Help me, deliver me out of this. And God is the one who actually does it, but we have recognized that we have it. And we don't want it. So to effectively remove sin and to prevent it from regaining a foothold in our lives, we must do something. And that something is we must replace our human weaknesses and sinful tendencies and leanings with something far better. And we learn this. We learn what this is through God's instructions to eat unleavened bread throughout this festival for 7 days. It's the symbolism that we get there. So we ask, what does the unleavened bread represent? Jesus Himself gives us the answer. It's in John 6. John 6, verse 4. We could read all the verses down to it, but 4 is where I want to start. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. Now, we read the context here, and we typically just read right over it, but question, is this actually possibly during the days of unleavened bread? We know it, at least it's right at the time of it, if it's not even during the days of unleavened bread. And I'll show you when we get to the verse why I say that. So the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. Verse 5, continuing on. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that they can eat? And this Jesus said to prove or to test Philip, because Philip is the one he asked. I don't know if it's because Philip was the one standing next to him or he singled him out. Don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't really matter. For he, Jesus, knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Not eating before, but just take any. This is what he's saying. 200 penny worth is about one half of an annual income of that day. It's just like half your salary for the year. Verse 8, continue on. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves. This is why I ask, was this during the days of unleavened bread? When was the barley harvest? During the days of unleavened bread, on the day of the weigh sheaf, the first day of counting toward Pentecost. I mean, I don't know. I know that the wheat harvest came second, and we know that harvest was larger. Even at the first, the early part of the year, the spring of the year, the barley harvest was smaller than the wheat harvest, and I don't know if they could hold barley over, because it's right at the days of unleavened bread, because that's what the verses at least state. The Passover was nigh, was right at hand. So I don't know. I don't know. Just asking the question. I'm not even saying it was during unleavened bread. I'm just throwing it out there and asking the question. There's a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? Jesus said unto them, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and number about 5,000. This is men, besides the women and children. We know there were children because there was at least this lad. And the word that is used there means it's not necessarily even a teenager. It's probably somebody that would be, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that. So we know they're children. And if they're children, there's going to be mothers. And if there are husbands, there's going to be wives. And so how many people? I don't know. Some have estimated that it could have been with the men, women, and children as much as, we know it was five because that's what it says, as many as 10, 12, 15,000. Make the men sit down. About 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples distributed it to those which were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. He, remember, he said, well, even if we had could buy 200 penny worth, use half a yearly wage, and buy it, every person might not even be able to get just a little. But it says, and they gave as much as they wanted. When they were filled, Jesus said unto his, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Significance there, but I'm not going into that. Therefore, they gathered up them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them which had eaten. So shortly after he performed this great miracle of feeding thousands of people, notice what he told the crowd that followed him. And this is still in John chapter 6. This is just the verses that follow. This is in verses 27 through 58. We're not going to read all of the verses. I'm going to point out things in certain verses, though, but you can read them later. Verse 27, do not labor for the bread which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. He just did. He gave them physical food, but it was symbolic of much more. Verses 32 and 33, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. He comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. Verse 51, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 58, This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And what we notice here is the different terms that Jesus used of himself. True bread from heaven, bread of God, bread of life, and the living bread which came down from heaven. He emphasized this bread that God would provide, that it would do much more than satisfy the physical hunger, as he had just done when he miraculously fed this group of 5, 10, 15, whatever it is, 1,000 people. He said, I just fed you physical bread, but what I gave you is symbolic of much more. This is the point that we're getting to. It will satisfy the much deeper spiritual hunger, fulfilling the spiritual emptiness that exists in all of humanity, in every man, woman, and child. Whether we realize it or not, it is there. There is something in humanity, even people who say, I don't believe there's a God. There is something within every person to want to. So I think we need to ask a couple of questions. What is the significance of bread? And the second question is how significant was bread to the people of that day? Just to get a background of what the symbolism that Jesus is using when he says, I am the bread of, and all these different terms. First of all, understand bread was crucial in many different ways. And I have some bullets. Bread was the most important part of their diet, eating it at every meal. Now, it is not like you go to Publix and you buy a loaf of bread. That's not what bread was to them. It was filled with all kinds of things. It actually still had the germ and the wheat germ. I mean, you know, it still had all the right ingredients were still there. The second one. Bread was so common that the term break bread meant to eat a meal. The words bread and food were in essence synonymous. Then in traveling, this is not a bullet, but you could do it as a bullet. And when they would travel, people would commonly take bread to sustain themselves. This is why it's pointed out. And the disciples had forgotten to take bread because they always did. And they didn't do it. Now, there was a reason why. It was so that God could do this miracle, and we understand the why. But why was it even written in the sense for us to even a question? What do you mean they forgot to take bread? They always took bread with them. That's the point. A major part of a typical woman's day was filled with grinding wheat to make flour, and then baking bread from that flour that she had spent the day grinding so that she could bake the family bread. Another bullet. Bread was a key part of life throughout the day. Another one, bread sustained their lives. Another one, without bread, a person went hungry or starved. So what's the significance of bread? What was the significance of bread in the time of the life of Jesus Christ? Well, putting it as simply as I can, bread meant everything to the people of that day. It meant whether they would live or die. We even see this being referenced by Jesus Christ himself in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day, what does it say? Our daily bread. Now, we know that that's spiritual. Yeah, it's also asked to say, we need bread, we need food, you take care of me. And he does physically, but he's also the spiritual implication. Bread was crucial to people. And that's why we find it mentioned more than 60 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just in those four books, more than 60 different times. So we ask, why does Jesus refer to himself, call himself the true bread from heaven, the bread of God, the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven? Because just as physical bread was essential for physical life, he, as the bread of God, the bread from heaven, and the bread of life, is essential for our spiritual and our eternal life. So, without Jesus, we do not have, without Jesus, we cannot have eternal life. Therefore, we see the spiritual lesson of God's command to eat unleavened bread during these 7 days is that if we want our lives to be free of the leaven of sin and wickedness, then we have to fill our lives with unleavened bread of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have to take him into our lives, and that means we accept him as the final authority in our lives. I have some more bullets. Talking about bread, the spiritual bread, it means we hunger for him as we hunger for physical bread. It means we desire to learn about him so we can become like him in every area of our life. It means we study his teachings and his example so that we can better follow him as his disciple. It means we make his priorities our priorities. It means taking in and living by every word of God. Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, quoted from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Brethren, all of this that I'm talking about here, all of this is part of what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And all these things that I'm talking about here, it means that all of these things, his priorities are our priorities. It means all of these things. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it started back there at Passover, which actually started back at the foundation of the world, when he was slain from the foundation of the world for us. Therefore, we should see these 7 days of unleavened bread are clearly a time for rejoicing. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ and God the Father have freely given us the help that we need to live a life of, a life of sin, and to live a new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed for the forgiveness of our sins, therefore permitting us to be unleavened, to be cleansed of sin. Jesus, the bread of life, pictured by us eating unleavened bread 7 days. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying, unto them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Welcome to the days of unleavened bread. God bless you all. We love you. Happy Holy Day.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.